get to the Guardians here in 1 second. We're supposed to have great weather tonight for week one of the high school football.
Let's go.
So we had one. We had a big game last night. Ignatius Avon, right?
Not Avon Lake. Not Avon.
Avon. Yeah, I don't mess that up, man. Don't mess that up.
Boy, has
you want to get phone calls after a show, mess that up.
Boy, has Avon become a powerhouse. Oh, my God.
It's fun to watch them. Great coach.
It's been going on for like a decade now.
Yeah. I love this time of year. I just think it's great. I'd sit here and argue, and, you know, there's a couple TV stations in town that kind of do high school football right. You know, I think the show Ken's on, they do a nice job. 19 pops in there every once in a while.
We're kind of devoid, unfortunately, and I know Cleveland.com does the best it can with a, you know, minimal staff anymore. We're kind of devoid of good prep coverage in the area anymore. It feels like
the News Herald does a really good job.
They do.
I'll be honest.
And so does the Illyria Chronicle. They still have, you know, pretty broad coverage, but it just feels like there could be more. I don't know. Just doesn't seem to be as expansive as it once was. And I think that's just, you know, the nature
it's
going to
be an interesting year too, and I'm going to spend a ton of time on this, but because of the playoffs, because they cut back from 16 to 12 now, so it, you know, you had teams that were getting in with one
teams
win
per division. You're saying
per division? Yeah. Wow. We have 7 state championships. We could be looking at in the next couple of years having an 8th state championship if 8-man football takes off.
Yeah.
The state seems to really be behind girls flag football in the spring. I just wondering how that's going to affect other sports, and, you know, where girls are playing in the, you know, is that going to take away from lacrosse? Is that going to take away from track? What's that going to take away from in the spring?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. The Browns are really, really behind it. It's also kind of fun to see some of these programs where the boys football coach is also taking over the role of girls flag football coach. Right. So
handling both,
you know, so it's fun, but I love this time of year because it's not, you know, is it about teams winning and losing? Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's great. But I think it's just more about the community spirit that we show in Northeast Ohio and the thousands of people that show up at high school football stadiums on Friday and sometimes Saturdays. You know,
it's the revenue driver for all those schools. I was at a Westlake girls soccer game last night against North Ridgeville, and just enjoying the evening. Like you said, great time of year just to get out and support whatever school district you're in.
It is interesting to see how schools are putting money into football too, because I still think I wonder what high school football is going to look like in the next couple of years, because, you know, the concussion stuff was going through. I think numbers are down still. There's a lot of times where they're having trouble, you know, fielding JV teams at some of these schools, some of the smaller schools. You know, there was an interesting, this is deep in the woods, but there was an interesting ruling, not a ruling, there was legislature that went through in the state of Ohio, and this is weird. So there was someone in Youngstown. Canfield has a high school hockey team. They'll just work with me on this. And there was a kid from like 20 miles away, and his high school didn't have hockey. And in this last bill that went through with the Browns, with all that Browns funding for the stadium, somebody slipped it in where that it's only hockey right now. So I can't wait to see how this thing plays out. That if you live, if your school district does not have a sport, hockey, only sport on this point,
you can play
if you're within 20 miles.
Interesting.
You can play. Now, both superintendents have to agree to it. So it's really interesting because I want to see how this thing plays out. I think it's really good for public hockey teams, public schools. But this wasn't the Ohio High School Athletic Association that did it. This was state legislature that made it into a law.
Interesting.
And so now the state's sitting on this thing. And like, I talked to the Ohio High School Athletic Association about it right after it happened. They're like, we're trying to digest this because it just happened. And it was kind of news to us. Because they've tried to pass this before, and they, you know, they weren't able to.
Is there worry that people will skirt the rules here and try?
To be honest with you, the end game on this is, I'm wondering how long schools that are struggling with football, that if it, let's just say this thing kind of works in hockey, and then all of a sudden the Ohio High School Athletic Association says, let's try this, because this was on the ballot a couple years ago to let, you know, kids play sports in districts that were neighboring, and it failed.
I remember that now.
So that failed at that point, but this got, and it's hockey only. It's ice hockey only because of the bill. And so the state, the Ohio High School Athletic Association got it forced onto them. If it works, I wonder what's going to happen. And then if we have numbers going down in football, let's just say, you know, old school, like, could you imagine the powerhouse at one point Parma would have been if they would have said, you know, we're just going to play football at Normandy. And at the time when there were 3 high schools, you know, okay, Valley, I'm not saying that I would have wanted that to happen, but Valley Forge would have dropped and Parma Senior would have dropped. And then, boom, you would have a mega powerhouse in Parma.
I'm interested to see where boys' flag football goes, especially now that we're going to have flag football in the Olympics.
Right.
How that may change things going forward. I mean, we're a couple years away from that.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
But we may have, you know, because as you know, the 7-on-7 thing now in the summer times is about as
big. It's endless.
It's huge.
They shifted the rules, too, for high school.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. In the meantime, good luck to all those teams tonight and the bands and the cheerleaders and everybody. It's good times.
Go out and just it's not really about who wins and loses, even though a lot of people will take it very seriously. It's more about your community. Guardians in an interesting spot. They're off to Texas.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on where they are right now? This is a crucial weekend.
This is big. As I said earlier, it's a critical weekend with a block capital C. They need to string some wins together. You know, the offense has kind of been up and down. It's been that kind of year, right? Hasn't it, Andy? It's been, you know,
every time I'm just about to get off the train, I stay on.
Well, and there are only three back in the wild card. Mm-hmm. The Royals have jumped them, as we talked about earlier.
In the last 2 days.
Yeah. And now we got a weekend where the Royals are playing the Tigers. We've got the Yankees playing the Red Sox. So this is an opportunity for them. And with the Rangers, you know, nipping at their heels. So they can't afford to get into these, you know, losing 5 out of 6, what have you. This is where they got to start stringing them together immediately.
Think about that. So what would you say, Yankees or Seattle? What's the matchup among the two wildcard teams you just said? I just missed that.
Yankees, Red Sox.
Yankees, Red Sox. That's it. So get Yankees, Tigers. Red Sox. So look, I mean, if one team sweeps and the Guardians sweep this weekend, look where you are. You'll have a spot.
And especially,
You'll be tied. Probably you'll be tied.
And you got Seattle playing the Athletics, and they should take care of them, especially being at home. So, and they got big games coming up. I mean, the Mariners are going to be here next week. So, again, the fact that they're playing meaningful games in late August is really, you know, it's not all you can hope for, but it's still a positive.
I still think the series against Texas is gigantic. They just so long as we don't see a sweep one way or another, and more so if they could take 2 out of 3, then you're in decent shape and you'll hold ground at least. Kansas City's jumped over you, but Texas, again, both the Guardians and the Rangers are probably looking at this going, okay, this is kind of a make or break weekend for us, even though the Guardians have plenty of games going up against teams that they'll be playing and trying to vie for a wild card spot. But Texas is on their heels, man. They're only 2.5 back on them.
And they're facing Uvalde tonight, who's just tough. Ugh. And Ciccone's got to bounce back, man. He had, if I'm not mistaken, his last start was pretty poor. So, and he's been good too. So,
Tom, how are they doing this though? I look at that plus minus column all the time, and the Guardians are the only team with offense. They're the only ones in the red. You know, they're minus 34 right now, runs scored versus runs given up. And I understand that every once in a while you lose a game 9-1 and that number gets ugly. But
there have been signs of life, though, right? Rokio has been good. You know, we like what we've seen from Kafis, you know, in a small sample. He's been good, right? Yeah. Every at bat is like worth watching, only because we've been itching to see this kid for so long. And he seems to have the right approach when he's up there. So, listen, it's about the pitching. It's about getting 5 or 6 innings out of your starters every night. It's about being able to go to that bullpen and trusting in that bullpen. Still no word on where things are going with the Class A situation. I think the longer that drags on without hearing anything, worried I become.
I think it's amazing that they've been able to overcome that absolutely can suck the life out of a season. You got a guy,
especially when it came.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it was
at the trade deadline.
Exactly.
And it makes you wonder, first of all, it makes you wonder if they would have made a trade. Well, first of all, I don't think Major League Baseball, knowing what was going on, would have let them make a trade. Do you agree with that?
Correct.
And what if they would have made a trade and had to rescind the trade?
Ooh.
Could you imagine if that would happen?
I can only remember a couple instances where that's happened with, you know.
This is a prime case where that would have happened, though, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And you got to believe, based on the need at the time for some other teams, that Class A was going to be dangled out there, if not more. That was the move they were going to make to maybe get a couple hitters.
Who do you give credit to for them being able to weather the storm on this? Like, do you remember, was it 07? Was it 07 with Paul Byrd?
Yeah.
And we were in Boston. And, you know, that series felt like it was the Indians, and they had it. And then all of a sudden the Mitchell report comes out.
Yeah.
And Byrd's in it. And I felt bad. Like, Byrd had, like, a legit reason for taking the drug that he was taking, it was a pituitary thing.
It was.
And it was like, okay, I understand it. But for some reason, that story became larger than life.
It did.
Like, I'll never forget standing in the, you know, the quarters at Fenway are really tight to begin with. And imagine, like, walking by a taco stand at the ballpark, and right next to it is the clubhouse. And that's the way Boston's built, because it's so
old. I was
there
with you. He was up against the wall. Remember all the fans were walking by? It was crazy.
And it was like, and by the way, media was probably, there were probably 40 TV cameras.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
I mean, it was insane.
And the timing of it and all was just.
And it was nothing against the team, but it just kind of sucked the life out of the team.
Yeah, so they've you know, I'll give Stephen Vogt a lot of credit. I'll give his coaching staff in general a lot of credit. I mean, you know, Carl Willis, they got some really good guys in that staff. I think that's helped them weather the storm. I think it's a young team too, for the most part, right? So I think that helps them kind of, those kids are so like involved in their own process and are trying to make names for themselves as well. So I think that's, you know, kind of the innocence of it all.
It's easy to forget about what's going on. I thought it was brilliant that they're still getting paid, at least till the end of the month. But that they wipe both those lockers clean.
That says a lot.
That just doesn't happen. How many guys had lockers in there that were on the IR for 2 years that we've sat and watched? Their name never came off the wall.
But to your point, every time it feels like we were ready to throw another shovel of dirt on them, here they come. So let's hope they can do it again this weekend.
Concerns about maybe Kwan and just this for some reason,
clearly
August.
Clearly something bothering him.
August is not his month.
Right. I mean, that risk that, you know, was supposed to keep him out a little bit, and it did. And then he came back quickly. So his at bats have just not been as crisp as we've been used to seeing out of Steven here the last couple of years. You know, a little more kind of pulling off the ball, lazy fly balls to left field. You know, he's turned on a couple balls and hit a home run here and there, but just not the same guy. So that worries me a little bit. But you know, by and large, again, here we are, August 22nd, and they're in the conversation.
You think Travis Bazan is going to be here before we know it?
I do.
I love this. Keep talking, because this is sweet music.
You're bananas for Bazan.
No, I just want to see him. I mean, look, you had the chance to draft the number one overall guy.
And, yeah.
You know, it's a lot like Sanders, right? Like, people want to see Sanders. Well, I want to see Travis Bazan.
He'll climb the depth chart. He'll be here.
But I
don't know how long. Like, I think that injury that he had earlier this year was, you know, probably delayed however quickly they expected him to get here. So the fact that he's did what he needed to do at AA, and now he's at AAA and putting up pretty good numbers, that's a great sign for them.
Tim May, Letterman Rowe is going to join us next. We'll talk a little Ohio State football. Baskin and Phelps, Tom Withers is in today.